Can you lift your hands and just appreciate God this evening? It's a wonderful time in His presence. We are here because of Him. We are not here for ourselves. He's the reason we are alive. He's the reason we are here this evening. Come on, give Him some praise. Give Him some worship. Appreciate Him from the depths of your heart. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Father. He's our King. Oh Lord, we celebrate You this evening. We lift up Your name because there's none like You. We thank You because You're our Father. You're our Lord. You're our God. You're our Jehovah. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Rose of Sharon. The Balm of Gilead. The Ancient of Days. The One that was and is and ever shall be. We lift up Your name. We exalt You this evening. We ascribe all greatness to Your name. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your anointing in this house. Thank You for Your word that You'll be bringing towards us this evening. Thank You for the ministration of the Spirit. Thank You for the liberty of the Spirit. Thank You because every man, every woman under the sound of my voice this evening, You will touch them, You will heal them, You will lift them up. Thank You for what You're about to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take delivery of Your plan for today. The plan You had in mind for today from the foundations of the world. We cooperate with it this evening. And we ask that You take control. Take charge in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, because everybody will be blessed. We lift up Your name. We exalt You. We worship You. We thank You. We magnify Your holy name. Thank You, Father. Blessed be Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we honor You tonight. We ascribe all greatness to Your name. We thank You because You are our Father. We thank You for the privilege of sonship. We thank You for Your faithfulness over us. We thank You for the gift of life. Lord, we bring this meeting into Your hands afresh. Spirit of the living God, we ask that You breathe upon us. Teach us by Yourself. Speak to everybody here. I will not go with enticing words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. I didn't ask us to sit down. Amen. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, are you fasting? That was just a whisper. Ask your neighbor, do you have some shout on your inside this evening? Hello. Or did you leave the shout at home? Is the shout here with you this evening? Come on, somebody shout hallelujah! The Bible says the glory of young men is in their strength. So when we say young people should shout hallelujah, don't shout hallelujah. Strength. Hallelujah. Because when you look at that scripture, it seems to be saying when you're a young man, you have a lot of strength. The old man has a lot of gray hair, which represents wisdom, but now he has no strength. Hello? The young man has a lot of strength, a lot of vigor, a lot of energy, but not enough wisdom and experience to do, you know, what he's supposed to do. So most of the time, he makes a lot of mistakes. Then the old man, his beauty is in his gray hair. And because there's a lot of wisdom, how be it, there's no strength to do what he should have done. It looks like a confused situation. Because when there is strength, there's no wisdom. And when there's wisdom, there's no strength. But thank God for Job 32 verse 7. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said age should speak. A multitude of years should teach wisdom. He said, but there is a spirit in man. the understanding of the Almighty giveth, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. In other words, I don't need to wait to be old before I can access divine wisdom. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there is strength and there is wisdom because of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen to Jesus. Be wonderfully seated this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to quickly appreciate the leadership of NCCF, particularly the executives and the president, for this wonderful opportunity to be here to proclaim God's word. Please, can you please appreciate them? Hallelujah. No matter how anointed I am, if I'm not invited, I can't teach, isn't it? So I don't take it for granted. I want to appreciate that opportunity to declare God's word this evening. Everywhere I'm invited to declare God's word, I'm very excited. It's my passion, it's my ministry, it's my life, and I'm always excited talking, you know, to young people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm here with my wife this evening. Please help me appreciate her. Hallelujah. Amen. We got married November 1999 and we've been together. Amen. We have three boys, Dunamis, Duxa, and Dunamai. Three boys and no girl. Amen. I wanted a girl so passionately that by the time our last boy came, we have already bought baby girl's clothes. The scan told us twice that it's a baby girl. And I was by the bedside with my wife in the labor room. And the baby came out and I was looking. Okore manisha. When you have a baby, you want to rejoice. That whole praise God. I was so taken aback. It's a boy. Praise the Lord. But God has his own purpose. Ours is to wish and all of that. Maybe I wasn't standing in faith enough. Maybe if I exercise my faith, but I just thought. Hallelujah. But I have a lot of spiritual children that are girls. Amen. So that's okay. I've always told my sons that when you grow up, don't worry, you bring the girls. I've brought the boys. I've tried. Amen. All right, so we're here this evening. We're going to trust God for His word as we look at some very principles as it relates to relationship. Amen. I'm sure everybody is interested in relationship and marriage. Or is there anybody here who is an eunuch or somebody who has a Pauline ministry? I don't want to get married. I just want to be there. Is there anybody? Nobody. The way I see your faces. Hallelujah. Amen. I have some books here with me you might be interested in. Can I have that big book? Let me okay, this one, just let me have it. Okay, this is our daily devotional. It's a big book. Amen. And we have some copies here in case you are interested. We have an online devotional that we've been writing for many years. We have a lot of followers on the social media. We have a lot of members. So they requested that they want the book in a hard copy. So last year during our conference, we were able to do this for them. It's over 1,000 pages and it's just 3,000 naira. It's a daily devotional. Not on general topics, but everything about it is relationship. Okay? It's a daily devotional for singles and married couples. And, you know, somebody asked me, say, why do you have to write about relationship every day? And you've been doing that since 2010. I said, because everybody's thinking about relationship every day. Hello? You go to school and then you study medicine for some 7 years in order to become a doctor, isn't it? You study engineering for 5 years to become an engineer. You study law for 5 years to become a lawyer. And you want to get married, go for counseling for 2 hours. And yet marriage is an institution. Just like you have an institution, University of Ibadan, that's what marriage is. It's an institution in itself. The only difference is that in marriage, as an institution, you collect the certificate before the learning begins. You have the convocation first. On your wedding day, they give you the certificate, and then classroom lessons begin. And we have a lot of crisis, the body of Christ today, especially in the era of marriage, because a lot of people are married, but they don't have a clue about what it takes to have a good marriage. There are principles. Praise the Lord. So we also have some small booklets here, 200 naira each. Relationship and sex advice for him. Relationship and sex advice for her. Good book for singles and married as well. I'm sure it can, it's going to be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are interested in getting our devotional links in your email address, we could do that for you. You can get a sheet of paper passed around and write your email address. From tomorrow morning or so, you get the devotional link in your inbox, and then you can, you know, follow it and read it. We have over 15,000 people that read it on a daily basis across the world. It's blessing a lot of lives. I'm sure it will bless you as well. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God's word, and we trust that God is going to help us. Amen. This evening, I want to talk to us. I said marriage is an institution. It's a school in itself. So I want to take us to classroom and learn a few things about marriage, about courtship. How many of us are married here? Everybody single? Just very few people. Nobody? Okay. What's everybody waiting for? My wife was serving when she got married. She was serving. I think she had served for 2 or 3 months when we had our wedding. She served in this city, in Ibadan here. And I served 2 years before. I served in Delta State, but I deployed eventually. I served in Delta State 1997, yeah. And we got married 2 years after 1999. So what are you waiting for? Praise the Lord. You are waiting to receive. Lord, God will speak. Amen. God will open your eyes. You know, it's always easier to get into a relationship while you are, you know, in this age group on campus, while you are serving. It's easier. Now, I'm not saying it's compulsory you have to get into a relationship or get married or get engaged, you know, when you are serving. But it's easier because you have friends, you have people around you. And when you're going to get married, God is not going to drop somebody from heaven. Hello. To be among people you know, among friends, among people you have developed relationships. That's how it works. Okay, let's look at some principles, and I trust God is going to help us. Marriage is supposed to be an haven, not an oven. One particular man was studying his wedding certificate. He was studying it for hours. So they finally asked him and said, "I hope there's no problem. What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for the expiry date." The man is frustrated in his marriage. He said, "But there's no expiry date in marriage. Once you are married, you are married." Amen. There's no reverse gear. Somebody say, "What about divorce?" That's not the option. That's not the first option that God gives. And always, there's never a clean divorce. I'm sure some of us will know, or we are probably experienced, parents that got divorced. It is not a good idea at all. The emotional trauma that the children go through when the parents are divorced and separated is not funny at all. It's not funny at all. So another guy was watching the video recording of his wedding ceremony. Watching the video, the only problem is he was watching it in the reverse and enjoying it. He washed himself, removed the ring, washed himself. You know, the part where you kiss the bride, washed himself, take his mouth away, washed himself, get out of the church, and enter the car, zoom off. Because the guy is tired of his marriage, and he feels he could just zoom off like that in real life. But you see, marriage is an institution that God himself created. Some people will say marriage is a necessary evil. I disagree. There's nothing like that in the scripture. If you see it as a necessary evil, it becomes what you see. It becomes exactly the kind of picture you create. Are you with me? Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 and look at the first principle we're bringing out in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. So the first principle we see from that verse is that man was made from the breath of God. Man was made from the breath of God. God molded man from sand and clay and all of that. That is the implication in the Hebrew. And it was just a lifeless statue. There was nothing like intestines and lungs and kidneys. There was no blood. There was nothing. It was just lifeless statue there. And the only thing that God did for a miracle, the first miracle to happen, is that God breathed into his nostrils. And the breath of God, the inspiration of the Almighty God, went into that statue, and then all of the complex internal organs of man was formed at that instance. Are you with me? It's from the breath of God. That is your source. So the first thing we need to understand here is that I cannot go far when I disconnect from my source. A vital relationship with God, a deliberate, consistent relationship with God is what will keep you on the right track. Oh, you want a good relationship, you want a good marriage, but the first thing is that, am I connected to this source? Do I have a relationship with God Almighty? In the book of Job chapter 22 and verse 21, it says, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and what? And be at peace." You want everything in your life to be at peace. You want your relationship to be at peace. You don't want to jump from relationship to relationship, and in 2 years you have 5 different relationships that got broken. First thing to do is to acquaint yourself with God Almighty. Acquaint yourself now with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. And you know the Bible says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good." Hello. He says, acquaint yourself now with him, be at peace, and good shall come unto you. Are you here with me? In Acts chapter 26, verse 14, "And when we were falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, when it comes to your progress in life, not just in marriage, but in every other areas of your life, you cannot kick against the pricks. You can't. You cannot live your life like an average unbeliever out there. It's not going to work. There has to be a consistent and a deliberate relationship with God in the place of personal devotion. That is what will keep you going. That is your stability. That is your foundation. When that is not there, everything will not work. I'm telling you, it will seem as if it's working for a while, then everything will just crumple down, because your source is in the breath of God. And it's just wise to find a time on a daily basis in the morning and just take fresh oil from that source. That is what will keep you going. You see a man that disconnects from that source, the man will soon be forgotten. The Bible says concerning Saul and Jonathan that they were swifter than eagle when they were alive. Saul wasn't just a anyhow king. When Saul walks into a place, there's a presence with him. Royalty smells around him. The Bible says he was taller than every other man in the land of Israel. He was a man with a presence. He was a tall man. But look at how he died. Because he disconnected from God. And you know, David was lamenting and said, how come he died as though oil has not been poured upon him? You see, because what he's saying is there is that when you are anointed, when oil is poured upon you, when you're a child of God, haphazard things are not supposed to just happen to you anyhow. So David said, how will he just die as though he has not been anointed, as though oil has not been poured upon him? You don't joke without oil. You don't joke without oil. Anoint my head with fresh oil. Exalt my horn like the horn of a unicorn. These are the days in the book of Malachi that I will distinguish those that serve me from those that serve me not. You can't serve God and be at loss. You can't serve God and lose. No. And you see, you need to learn how to serve God in the days of your youth, in the days of your strength. These are the times you can take the Bible and say, I want to finish the whole Bible. I said, no, I will do that later. That later never comes. Because as the day comes, you get busier. As the day comes, you get busier. Right now, you are single. Oh, you can stay in the presence of God for 6 hours. Nobody's disturbing your life. Nobody's, you know, upsetting you. Wait till you get married. And the kids start coming. You'll be in the presence of God. You'll be in the third heavens. Your baby will come and bring you down to the earth. Say, Daddy, I want biscuits. I want biscuits. And you have to go and find biscuits. Otherwise, it will see your God as not a good God. Hello. It's now that you have all the time. It's now that you can tongue stroll for 2-3 hours. And your wife will not ask you, where are you going? I thought we were supposed to go to tantalizers. Hello. So the Bible says it's good for a man to bear his yoke in the days of his youth. Do you know by the time you are 60, if you sleep an average of 8 hours a day, you will have been sleeping for 20 years? 20 years of inactivity, of snoring? Hello. Now combine that with all the time you used to watch home video, you know, Dangerous Twins Part 1, Dangerous Twins Part 2, Dangerous Twins Part 3, and now you are angry there's no Part 4. Now when you add all those times, by the time a man is 70 years old, he has been tying his shoes for 4.5 months. Hello? M-A-N, that's the word man. Morning, afternoon, night. It's a season of everybody. Now what you didn't do in the morning will not show until night time. That's the problem. It won't show. You think you are okay. The night time, the lapses begin to show, and then there's no strength to do what you're supposed to do. The morning time is the time of foundation, building your life. Afternoon is a time of consolidation. Night is supposed to be a time of rest. A time where you just deposit back to the generation. People coming behind you. Is somebody here with me? So the first principle we see here for having a good relationship, a good marriage, is that what? You stay with God. Number 2, Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. So number 2 principle is that work came before marriage. Work came before marriage. When God created man, he told him, go and walk, dress the garden. When God created a woman, the first thing she saw was man, a man toasting her.
No wonder ladies like to be toasted. Hello. Hello. So we see the principle here that God gave Adam work before ever giving him a wife. And this order is not just a coincidence. It's a deliberate order that is meant to communicate wisdom that work is the first thing to get before getting a wife. It's after marriage you discover that speaking in tongues will not feed your wife. Your wife says, I need money for tomato. You say, Shanda, Shanda, Ledosta, Ledosta, Shikoku, Dekoku, Shikoku, Dekoku, Shikoku, Dekoku, Shikoku, Dekoku, Tebatabala, Tebatabala. It is money that is needed. You should have done your prayer before. When they ask for money, you bring money out. Hello. So you look for work and get working. I tell young ladies, when somebody is trying to ask you out, ask the person, what's your vision in life? You say, well, I don't usually have dreams in the night. Then you know there's a problem. He doesn't even understand where you're coming from. It's not on the same page with you. See, I hardly dream. So he doesn't even understand your language. Hello. Now, you say, but I'm still serving. When the time for work comes, see, there's a difference between work and job. You may be out of work, but never be out of job. Or you may be out of job, never be out of work, whichever way it is. But what I'm saying is, even while now you should find something doing, you find a business to do, try your hands on something, because the Bible says you will bless the works of your hands, not only the confession of your mouth. So the problem is we have confessed all the confession, and God is saying, so what will I bless now? Oh Lord, bless me, and God wants to bless you, but there's nothing to bless. It will bless the works of your hands. Are you with me? So look for a man around you and say, go get working before you propose. Joblessness is an opportunity to discover work. Hello. It's an opportunity for the innate giftings on your inside to come forth. He said that the communication of our faith might become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing. Philemon verse 6. That the communication of our faith will become effectual by the acknowledging. See, there are gifts on your inside. You need to look inward and acknowledge and bring into reality. And then the communication of your faith comes alive. You see practical faith bringing forth results. Hallelujah. Let's move over to number 3. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Genesis 2:18. So number 3 principle here is that there is a difference between aloneness and loneliness. When you are lonely, the cure is not marriage or relationship. Because there are several people who are married and are very lonely. In fact, their husband is around them every day, but they are lonely. So loneliness is a state of the heart that needs to be dealt with before you venture into a relationship. If you don't, you will frustrate the other person. Because you'll be looking forward to him or her to solve that loneliness problem that only Christ can solve. And because it cannot fulfill your expectation, relationship breaks up. You see, what Jehovah can do, don't ask it from a man or from a woman. You say, I'm getting into relationship with you because I want to solve my loneliness problem. No, it won't be solved that way. Aloneness is a state that you get to and you're ready for relationship or marriage. It's a state where you are single. It's a stage you get to that you don't need anybody, any opposite sex, or any friend to survive. When you are still in that state, like, I need to be in a relationship. I have to be in a relationship. I need somebody. Yeah, you are not ready. You are ready when you are alone. And aloneness means, I don't need you to be happy. I don't need a fiancé to be happy right now. I'm happy with God. That's when you are ready. I have to be in a relationship. I'm lonely. I'm bored. I'm this. No, those are not the purposes for a relationship. Are you with me? Are you with me? Signs of loneliness in your life is an indication that there is still a void to be filled by your maker. It's an indication that you need to pay attention to your spiritual life and you need to go on a journey of identity discovery in the scriptures. So we've seen three things. Man was made from the breath of God. I need to stay connected to the source. Number two, for man, work came before marriage. Number three, there's a difference between loneliness and aloneness. Number four, Genesis chapter 2 verse 20. Number four, Genesis chapter 2 verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Did you see that? Adam gave names to all what? Help me mention it. Cattle. What else? Fowl. What else? Beast. Look at the next statement. But for Adam, there was not found and help meet for him. In other words, assuming Adam as, you know, just takes a look at the female gorilla and says, this is now the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bones. She shall be called woman. How will you look today? How will you look today? Let me ask you, but how will you look today? Because the implication of this scripture, when you look at it very carefully, is that he gave names to all cattle, right? And then to fowl of the air, and then to the beast in the field, but there was not found an help meet for him. It was more or less like standing like, if you find the help meet among the animals, go ahead. But you see, Adam named all the animals appropriately and said, none of you qualifies. And in life, in relationship, you have to learn how to name people. Your lecturer is meant to teach you biology, not to take you for practicals in his bedroom. You name him. You are a lecturer. You don't ask me out. Oh, we are just friends. You are just a fellow brother in the fellowship. That's all. You can't fall in love with everybody. This week you fell in love with Brother Zerubbabel. The following week, in 3 months' time, you are new in the fellowship, and it's just 3 months. You have fallen in love with about several sisters. That was how a particular brother went to propose to about 11 sisters in one church. And each time, God told me. God spoke to me. After a while, the sisters started having a meeting. Oh, he came to you. He would never find a wife in that church. Even if his wife is there. Now there are sometimes God will tell you that that is your wife. It's just an information. It's not for you to go and propose. Well, I know God told me. Yes, he told you. Did he ask you to propose? When you are God's friend, he will tell your friends to come. God showed me who my wife was going to be 1.5 years before I proposed. The very first day I saw her, God spoke to me and said, that's your wife. But he didn't ask me to go and propose. So I didn't do anything, and I was not suggestive, and I did not do anything about it. To tell you, there are some people that will have a valid direction from God, but because you stepped ahead of God. The lady is not ready at that time. God has not dealt with her. So she looks at you and says, you don't exist. Because he's not ready. And you go back to God, you are crying. And God is telling you, I told you, she's your wife. But you've been careless. You don't jump ahead of God. So some of you that are familiar with ministry discover that God will tell you about things about your ministry. And you look as if it's now. And sometimes it's just 5 years, 10 years. God told me I'm going to teach about relationship 1996. So 1997, I wanted to do a meeting on relationship. Nobody came. Not even the members of my church that helped me to distribute the flyers. They didn't show up. It wasn't time. It came to time 2007, 10 years after. And at that time, I did not have to lift a finger. Without doing any relationship program or anything, I was just busy pastoring gently. People will come that I don't know before and that are not members of my church and come to tell me about their issues. Masturbation, pornography. Girls will come with sex toys and drop it. Without doing any program. Because it was time. Bible says of the children of Issachar, they had understanding of times and seasons. So Adam was able to name all those animals. You are just a lion. Get away. Baboon. And that's how you name people around you. Are you here with me? You don't go and fall in love with your pastor who is married. He's your pastor, not your lover. Yes, I know you see him every day on the pulpit with the glory of God covered and you are falling in love, but you can fall out of the love again. Hello. Let the cattle remain as cattle. And let the fowls keep on flying. Name them. An unbeliever comes to you and says, cattle. No, I can't marry cattle. No. You see, even though he's an unbeliever, but he's very nice. Such a nice, in fact, he's nicer than most of our brothers in church. And what's the definition of nice? He's sending a recharge card. Let me tell you something. When somebody who doesn't know God, who doesn't have the fear of God, keeps giving you something, he has a day of recompense in mind when he will collect everything back. You just come around one day and say, well, I've been showing you love since, but you never show me any love. You say, I love you too. That's not what I mean. Are you a baby? You never proven your love to me. Not once. You say, but I love you now. Prove it. How do you prove it? He wants to sleep with you. You don't prove love with sex. Hello. Otherwise, see, because sex and love are two different things. Yeah, because I love you, there must be sex. No. Otherwise, the prostitute should fall in love with all her clients. But she doesn't. She will have sex quite alright, collect the money, and that's the end. Looks for the next client. So they are two different things. So when a guy begins to tell you to prove your love with sex, then you know that it's an ignorant person you are dealing with. Are you with me? Are you with me? I mentioned the word sex. Some of you go like, in a holy place, you are talking about sex? Do you know that 90% of the time, brothers are thinking about sex, whether they are born again or not? Spirit filled, tongue talking, yes. Hello. It's just the way your body is wired. You can't deny it. One brother said this thing of sin, and he took knife and cut it. And he bled to death. This thing of sin. You see, the most active sexual organ in your body is not your penis or your vagina. It's your mind. It's your mind. And when you hear the word sex or penis, it's a lie. And you see, the problem is that when we're growing up, instead of calling it penis, they say it's tom-tom. A tom-tom. So now the little boy is being abused by somebody, and he doesn't know how to communicate to his parent. He says, somebody, Tom Tom, he says, okay, you want buttermeat, and Tom Tom, don't worry, I'll give. See, everything is, it's penny, it's called it penny, it's an English word. It's not a sinful word. It's just English language. Head go penny, why? There's so bad, you know. About the question, so. And then some people that are very holistic and about if you know what they are doing behind. He said, no, you don't mention such unholy words in the presence of God. It's God that created sex. You think it's an invention of man? It's God that created sex. It's God that created and made all those organs on your inside. So enjoy sex within the marriage sanctity, not outside of it. That's why God said, wait till marriage with your wife or with your husband. Hello. All of you are looking very holy and sanctimonious. And it's a lie. The way I see your face, I know by the Spirit of God. Number 5. Genesis chapter 2 verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Genesis 2:21. So number 5 principle is, brothers, go to sleep. Look for a brother beside you. Tell the brother, you've been too awake. Go to sleep. You know those brothers that come to church and they always sit at the back. Hello. They always sit at the back to have an eagle view of the sisters. To know what God is saying. So they see a particular sister in the crowd, say, yes, yes, that's it. Shanda, Minda, Sinda. And they receive. 2 hours later, they see another sister. He said, Lord, there was a mistake. This is it. This is the real thing. This is the Isaac. The first one was Ishmael. Then they see another one that just came to church. I say, ah, God. In fact, this is it. You see, you've been too awake. By the time you've had 7 relationships in 1 year, you are too awake. Go to sleep. Tell a brother, go to sleep. Now, look at the scriptures. Look at the scriptures. Hello. He says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. Some of you, God is causing a deep sleep to fall upon you. You say, Iro. Sister Sube, I see you. Go to sleep. Because if you don't go to sleep, the process of taking out the rib to present a woman before you, a wife before you, will not be done. Say, God, I know what I'm doing. I understand love and temperament. When I see my wife, I know. Just leave me alone to decide. Allow God to lead you. Are you with me? Allow God to what? The SMS you are sending is out. They are too much. Yeah. Pinging SMS, chat, Facebook, reduce them and just go to sleep. Just try and sleep. Now when you sleep, it means you say, God, I want you to handle this area of my life. I want you to take charge. I want you to lead me. I don't want to do it my own way. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? The moment Adam slept, God went to work. No wonder the Bible says in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. Message translation says, step out of the traffic. Just take a moment and be still. Hallelujah to Jesus. When you are still, you allow God to do what he wants to do. You allow him to lead you. Number 6. Genesis chapter 2 verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Number 6 principle. God will present, but he will not help you to propose. Because some of us are very spiritual. You almost want God to propose on your behalf. Say, God, now that you have shown me, now move. Let this sister come to me and say, I like you. You don't throw fleeces at God. Are you here with me? God will present, but he won't help you to propose. He will lead you. He will show you. But you have to do the talking. Because that's what happened to Adam. The Bible says he presented Eve to Adam. He didn't say a word. God said nothing. And Adam went into a frenzy of revelation. Wow, man. Bone of my bone, flesh of my... Who told you? He just fell in love the moment he set his eyes upon him. Because it was part of him. It was taken out of him. So when he saw her, this is me. This is me. This is not somebody else. So you see, there shouldn't be confusion when you are talking about who your wife is or who your husband is. The reason there is confusion is that you have like 4 ribs in your hands. 4. Say, God, which one is the right rib? There is sube, there is shade, there is comfort, and there is... Say, God, I present to you the ribs of my ribs. All the bones that I've collected that you didn't send me. Lord, which one? One guy wrote names. The one she liked most, the one he liked most was Shade. So he wrote names. Sube, Shade, Comfort. Say, God, by your spirit, when I throw this thing up, the one I open, let it be your voice. Let it be your direction. Shalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalab Is that somebody's tongue? Do you know one particular brother refused to marry a sister because of the tongue? He had already proposed. So he listened to the tongue. The tongue is Sanda. 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 He said, when will you buy shoe? Every day, Sanda, 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 Sanda. Don't worry. Whatever your tongue is, celebrate it. It's diverse kind of tongues. That's, you will hear some languages in the world today and you'll be like, eh? What's that? Ah, is that another tongue for someone? That's interesting. The Holy Spirit knows you. How come you know people's tongues? Go and sit down. Go and sit down. So, he throws the names up. So the one I pick. So he picked one. Open it. Sube. He said, God, no, I make a mistake. See, that's not how, you see, relationship is not a game. It's not something you turn into. Hello? God will present. Adam told God, he said, the woman you gave me. God said, eh. So he told us in the book of Proverbs, he that findeth. So you have to find. He will lead you. Hello. He will guide you, but you have to do the finding. Say, but God, how will I find? Look around you. Is that what God told Abraham? Lift up your heads, look around. Look around. Your friends. Your spouse is among them. Maybe it's not among them here, maybe in the next level of place you are going to get into, but your wife or your spouse is always around you. It's not going to drop from somewhere in a supernatural way. So God, drop my wife. Drop my wife. Drop her. From where? She's already around you. Number 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So number 7 principle, the man is to propose, not the lady. Pastor, but I already know he's my husband, but he's not talking. Leave him alone until he talks. Pastor is the shy type. Should I help him? Don't help him. Who made you a helper? The Holy Spirit is a helper. Don't help him. What can I do, Pastor? Pray that God should open the eyes of his understanding. That's all you can do. Don't send any suggestive text. Say, as I saw you in church today, I saw the glory of God upon you. God loves you, and so do I. Don't send such texts. Allow the process to be done in a very beautiful way. Men are the aggressors. The woman is the responder, not the other way around. The man is the hunter. You don't kill the hunter in a man. You don't destroy the process. Is somebody here with me? See, as I see you, Brother Zerubbabel, I see that you like me, but you are shy. Abi? She? No problem now. Just ask me out. It's so easy. And I will say yes. No, you don't do things like that. Are you here with me? Is somebody here with me? Ladies are not to take the lead in asking a man out because it is not scripture. You will be found. Learn to trust God. He that will come and will not tarry. You will be found. And it's beautiful that way, that you'll be found. Not that the lady starts finding. The Bible talks about strange women. A strange woman goes out to find somebody she is going to sleep with. You read about that in Proverbs chapter 7. He said, come, I've perfumed my bed. I've laid my bed. The husbandman is traveled out and he's gone with his bags with him. It's going to be a long time before he comes. Come, let's take our fill of the night together. That's a strange woman. That's a strange woman. Are you here with me? Number 8. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave. Say with me, cleave. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So number 8 principle, from leaving to cleaving. From leaving to cleaving. See, there has to be a leaving before the cleaving. You don't cleave before leaving. Therefore shall a man leave, that's the leaving, leave his father and his mother, that's talking about marriage, and then shall cleave. And the word cleave is a very powerful word. If you go and study it out, it means to bind together as with a glue. Strong word. Because the picture that marriage presents is a picture of oneness. And the highest level at which you can know a person is through a sexual experience. And that's what it means to cleave to your husband or to your wife. But you find a lot of people today that cleave before leaving. And then it brings confusion into their lives. Because that is not the order of God. So if somewhere, you don't pack your bags and travel to go and spend weekend with him. You have not left. You are trying to cleave. Say, but Pastor, what about if nothing happens? What do you mean by nothing happens? the angels are clapping for you that nothing happened. No, you just misrepresented Christ. Well, some of the unbelievers, unbelievers will see you and say, bros. You say, nothing happened. Oh, bros. Because to the pure, all things are pure. To the impure, all things are impure. How do you want, how many people were you convinced that no, he was facing that way, I was facing this way. Even though I had headache from yesterday night to this morning. Hello. One lady told me on Facebook, he said, I spent one night with him, one night. Now I'm pregnant and he's married to somebody else. Just one night. One night. Don't pack your bags and go to his territory. What do you think they are going to be doing? Night vigil? He said, no, me and my fiancé, we want to do night vigil towards our wedding. You now went to his room. You didn't pray. You didn't pray throughout. The eyes of the brother is turning red. The tongues are changing. You think it's the anointing. The guy is frustrated. He's dying inside. He's dying inside. If you could interpret his tongue, he's, oh God, why did I do this? Oh God, help me. Because the way a man's body is wired, when a man looks at a lady that he likes or he loves, or the kind of person that he is, he loves, he's ready for sex in less than 20 seconds. That's a man. Including bishops, apostles, pope, tangent bishop, archbishop, circumference popes, everybody. A man is ready for sex in less than 20 seconds. They may not tell you because they are holy brothers. You know. It is because they speak in tongues for 15 hours. It doesn't matter. You are still in the days of your flesh. Juanita Bynum was struggling. She wrote a book, No More Shit. I'm sure you know, you've heard that name before. She was struggling with sex. She was born again. She was going to church. She was struggling with sex. Sleeping with men. So she went on a fast, 40 days and 40 nights. After the fast, the very night after the fast of 40 days, she was back in bed with another man. And sex is powerful, really. So God wants you, what you don't want to eat now, don't taste. Say, we are only kissing. And who told you that's okay? I said, but the Bible says kiss one another with a holy kiss. And you know, brothers quote that scripture. God can be a, God is not an author of confusion. He said, kiss one another with a holy kiss. So if it is church, it's a holy kiss, we can kiss each other. Eh. Now the Jewish kiss, that instruction is a cultural instruction because the Jewish kiss is a form of greeting. That's why Judas said, the one I greet, the one I kiss, that's Jesus Christ. It's like saying the one I shake his hands. In Nigeria, we don't kiss. We don't greet with a kiss. I'm coming to this meeting, you grab my wife, you are kissing her, you are saying, welcome, ma. I remove my suit, I fight you. Seriously. You say, but you're a man of God. I say, yes, that's why I'm fighting. You don't kiss one another. You see, Nigerian kiss is unholy. Jewish kiss is very holy. Nigerian kiss is unholy. You see, we have never had sex. The only thing we do is kiss. You see, the only thing. So when you are kissing, what's happening to your hands? Where are the hands? The hands are tied back. Eh? They are raised up. The Nigerian kiss is unholy. That's why you do it behind doors. You cannot see your pastor coming and you say, let's kiss in front of your pastor. You go behind somewhere in the room, behind the door, locked up, Now if I'm kissing my wife somewhere and you walk into us, you will apologize. You say, "Ah, sorry sir, I didn't know. We are doing something very holy. Because we are married." But if you are kissing a particular sister you are not married to and I bump into you, we will still apologize. It's still you. Say, "Ah, sorry sir, I didn't know." It's still you. Sisters, he says, "Let's kiss." You to now submit your lips as if you are submitting paper in exam. And the Bible says the power of life and death lies. You don't desecrate it. If he's hungry, don't they sell pomo in the market? Why must it be your mouth? 2 hours you are kissing. That's why somebody came to my office years ago. The mouth was, say, "What happened to you? Did somebody hit you?" Say, "It's a rough kisser." That one is not a Jewish kiss. It's not a Nigerian kiss. It's a German kiss. May God help us in this generation. You don't relocate and pack your things to a guy's house. I see all of that when I was on campus. You see ladies leave their campus and then pack their things. Come and spend weekends and sometimes days with guys. And one particular lady that came like that, the guy removed his belt one day and was beating her up. You are not married, for God's sake. And even if you are married, you are not supposed to lift your hands against a woman. He was beating her with belt. How to go there and collect the belt from him? Ladies, don't subject yourself to such harrowing experiences. It's an affliction. You are not married. You go to his house. You are washing boxers and singlets. Cooking rice. And upon it all, he says there is no salt inside it. You don't cook it like my mommy cooks it. You don't. Because you see, you can be so holy, so spiritual, sister, but this area of emotions and marriage, you see some people make serious mistakes and you're like, "What?" Because it's an area of the emotions. Somebody here with me. I need to start rounding up. Let's look at one more principle. Number 9. Genesis chapter 3 verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Sin will extricate you from God's presence. Sin will cause a disconnection between you and your maker. It's not a good place to be. Now, because we are in the days of our flesh, sometimes you make mistakes. Hello? And there's provision for that in the scripture. When you fall into temptation, he said he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, that is different from when you are living in sin habitually. Two different things. When you fall into a temptation out of carelessness, you ask for forgiveness and you stay away from sin. It is different from committing sin week in, week out without repentance. Listen to me. If you are in that state, you need to turn around so that you don't waste your time. I call it a waste of time. Your labor of love in God's house becomes a waste of time. No reward, because your heart is not right. Habitual sins. I'm talking of what you do regularly. You know it's wrong, but you kind of think when I come to church and I sing in the choir or do some spiritual things, it covers for it for that week. And then I can go back and sing and then come back the following week and just do something. It doesn't cover for nothing. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what's going to reap. particularly sexual sins, it will finish your life before it starts. It will finish when the devil is getting ready to snuff the life and the light out of your future and your purpose and your ministry. It will push you into a sexual sin. There's a place for repentance. You can come out, but when you now do it regularly and you come to the place where you are deceived that somehow I think God is okay with it since there's no judgment in quotes, and I still sing and is anointed, I preach and the Holy Ghost is still moving, somebody fell under the anointing. You know, there's the lying wonders of the devil. For every gift of the Spirit, there's a counterfeit. For every word of knowledge, there's an operation of the familiar spirit. So you see somebody who is sleeping with a member of the church is giving word of knowledge. There's word of knowledge, there's word by knowledge. Two different things. Are you here with me? Sin will finish you before your life starts. I'm talking of habitual sins. And you see, what is in contention is your ministry, your future, your purpose, your assignment. It's not about now. It's not the 7 minutes of jacking up and down sweating. It's about your purpose. The Bible says concerning Esau that he sought for it. He wept, but he could not get it back. And then one son, he said, lest there be a fornicator like Esau, like a profane person. Profanity is trying to get what you will get later at the appropriate time to get it now. Profanity is not waiting. He came back with a game. Obviously, he has something to cook too. His brother is about to eat. Both of them were hungry. You don't cook porridge when you are not hungry. Jacob too was hungry. Now he said, give me of your porridge. He said, no, give me your bath rag. He said, what is bath rag? Take bath rag, give me porridge. So that one has have to go and cook another. So Jacob could wait, but Esau refused to wait. And for not waiting, he lost something valuable. He lost something valuable. He said, so don't let's be profane like Esau. He said, lest there be a fornicator. Did Esau fornicate? No. So why would the Bible liken Esau to a fornicator? Because the problem of the fornicator is the problem of Esau. Not waiting. Sex is what you have. And if you like, after marriage, you want to have sex 25 times a day, go ahead. It won't be a sin then. But right now, God is trying to teach you responsibility and maturity. Stay away from habitual sins. It doesn't matter how much you're anointed. You can't combine it with a lifestyle of sin. You can't. You say, but what about David? Yes. He committed adultery, murder. Did God forgive him? Did God forgive him? But was there any other consequences? Oh, yes. That adulterous seed died. And then prophets told him that sword will not depart from your house. And from that day, all kind of atrocities in his family. At the time, Absalom chased his father away from the throne. David, a man of war, that fought over 66 wars and lost none, took his things and ran away for his son. Because at the time, he allowed compromise to access his life and his destiny. Listen to me. Listen to me. Every temptation that comes your way, the Bible says there's a way of escape. So there's nothing like, it was the devil. No, it was the devil. Which color of dress was the devil wearing? He helped you to lock the door. And they helped you to remove your trousers. No, the devil is not that powerful. Devil is not that powerful. And see, there's a simple method you can bring into your life to stop sexual sins. Sin is perpetrated in an atmosphere of secrecy. It takes a closed door to close up your destiny. You leave the door open, nothing will happen. Nothing. Don't you see pregnant women in town? Pregnant mad women that are pregnant. Did you see them when they were doing anything? So even in the state of madness, there's some form of secrecy. It takes secrecy. You don't close your doors. NEPA took light. You are together at 8 p.m. and then you lock the door. What else is going to happen? And you see, our environment is not helping. Isn't it? Our environment is not helping. Internet is not helping. Media is not helping. But God's standard remains the same. God will not say, okay, because of the situation of the societal, okay, let's allow. No, His word remains forever. And you see, it's all about your life. One wrong seed, and it can lead to 4 years of misery. One wrong mistake, and it can upset a lot of things. I want to call us this evening to a place of consecration. A place of consecration. Thank God for your spiritual life. But you and I know what you might be dealing with in your heart. And at the end of the day, God does not look at your activities in church. He looks into your heart. He looks into your heart to bless you, to promote you, to open doors, to give you favor. Somebody here with me? Are you here with me this evening? I want you to talk to God as you know, round up. Even though David made a mistake, are you here with me? The Bible says Bathsheba became pregnant again and gave birth to Solomon, who later became a king. Rahab, the harlot, was a professional prostitute in her days. But you could find her name in Hebrews chapter 11. Made it to the hall of faith because of the act of faith. It tells me that it doesn't matter how far I've gone, the mercy of God can bring me back. Rahab later became the great grandmother of Jesus Christ. A harlot in the lineage of Jesus Christ, that's what mercy can do. Mercy suspends the rules. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Rise upon your feet. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want you to talk to God. Every area of your life where you know there's some habitual thoughts, I'd like you to talk to God. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and talk to Him. La defregemunda sapagoshte harabagis. Runda desh malagenetisimahaya. Lugridos soprokedamba. Dinda frinesh kagasa. There are people here that struggle with masturbation. Talk to God. I want to pray for you. Talk to God before I pray. Romans chapter 12 says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Land of Regimosis and Mahalana. Zeus is a bash. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's something the Spirit of God is showing me. Let me quickly do that in a few minutes. All eyes closed. If you are a lady a lady and you are dealing with low self-esteem, I want you to come out, because it's about to end in your life tonight. You're dealing with low self-esteem, because that is what mostly leads to issues. There's a particular lady who believes she will never get married. Please come out. Please come out if you are the one. We are dealing with low self-esteem. There are still two more people, two more ladies. Please come out. Let the Spirit of God set you free. I need an usher to stand behind them. There's still one more lady, low self-esteem. Please come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you said, this one's free tonight by your anointing. There's somebody that went through sexual abuse between the age of 9 and 11. And you don't know, but it's a source of a major problem that you're facing in your life right now. Please come out. Let the Spirit of God set you free. For whosoever the Son of Man shall set free. Landre Bosh Neskadi Salama. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I break the hold of low self-esteem. I pray for restoration of all that is lost. And I release God's anointing over you. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Lady Fredo sees Mosca. Receive strength to fulfill your destiny. You will fulfill destiny. The devil is a liar. You will fulfill destiny. You will fulfill destiny. Lift up your two hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Strength in your inner man. I come against that stronghold on your inside and I release you into your destiny tonight. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. Healing to your soul. Healing to your soul. Healing. Healing. Restoration. Healing. Healing to your soul. Netosa neta neta leke tutuma na divasuza lete vlogundusuma. Healing to your soul. Resusus nelidazusa mahalata. Every power of hell is broken in your life. Broken. It's a new day for you from today. Receive strength. Supernatural strength. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For release of grace and strength from within. I curse that wrong spirit in your life. I come against that wrong spirit. Lose your grip in the name of Jesus. Lose that tonight. Let her go. Stop. Lose Susisa. Nesesaba. Receive your freedom tonight. In the name of Susima, terrible Susima. Thank you, Jesus. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. Hallelujah. There are a lot of things I see, but I cannot call everybody forward because of time. Thank you, Jesus. You are dealing with any form of habitual sin. Just place your right hand on your chest. I want all eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. It's a very sacred moment. Just put your right hand on your chest. I'm not calling you forward. Just put your right hand on your chest. Say, Lord Jesus, I consecrate myself afresh to your plans for my life. From tonight, I declare I am free in the name of Jesus. I declare from tonight that sin shall not have dominion over me. Whosoever the Son of Man shall set free is free indeed. And so I proclaim my freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. You can be seated. God bless you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In the next 10 minutes, very briefly, I just want to take a few questions and answers. If you have a question, please. I know usually the real questions, people want to write it down. So quickly write it down, pass the oceans. Or if you want to ask, please, kindly indicate. So I'll take a few questions before I go tonight. If you've written down your question, please, just give it to them or quickly write it now so that I can quickly attend to your questions by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This period of your life, it's a blessed time. It's a wonderful period. And I want to encourage you to just spend it for God. You will enjoy yourself later. Just spend it for God. Just do it God's way. There's nothing as beautiful as that. Don't waste your time trying to deceive or act up. Just be true to God. Be true to yourself. Stay away from every form of compromise. And you will surely get there in Jesus' name. I thought somebody would say amen. There's a glorious destiny ahead of us. Glorious destiny. You must preserve it. The integrity of an upright man will preserve him. So says the scripture. Have integrity with God and with yourself, and there will be preservation. While I was on campus, I never knew I was going to be a pastor. I never knew there was a ministry ahead of me. I never knew people would be calling me from all over the world for counseling. I never knew I would have a ministry that would go into every nook and cranny of the world like it is today. Maybe if I had known, I would have probably deliberately, you know, but I didn't know. But I thank God for preserving my life. And God can preserve your life as well. God can preserve your life. I was a virgin to a marriage. Not because I didn't feel like, or I was not pressured, or there was no temptation. But because how is that this fear of God? I can't do it. There were several opportunities, but I can't do it. You know. And I have this feeling that if I tried, I would really die. Maybe that was the feeling that kept me away. I really had that feeling. Up to now, if I tried, if I mess up, I would just die. Bishop Oedipo said, he played the court upon himself. If I ever mess up, if I ever commit a sexual sin, let tuberculosis overtake me. So when he sees a lady that is winking at him, he sees fine tuberculosis, and he runs away. He preserved his life by having an agreement with God. I didn't say you should go and place a curse on yourself, but I'm saying you should find a way around it. There's something that will resonate with you. It's like an agreement with your God. Say, God, keep me. Sometimes I know it can be a little bit difficult if you have been sexually active to stay away, but you can still do it. Because the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. And it's not something you do with your flesh or with New Year resolution. It's something that you do by the Spirit of the living God. Let me quickly take these questions because of time. Is it proper to get in a relationship to see if it will work out or not? When God has not led you or spoken to you that a person is your spouse, I don't think it is good, because that would be more like an experiment. Like you are experimenting with your heart. You see, oh, let me just get into a relationship to see whether it's going to work. If it doesn't work, I'll get out. If it works, you are experimenting with your heart. Do you know that the heart that can double date is the heart that will commit adultery? Double date is Riaza for adultery. So don't try to, you know, do that kind of a thing. Let's see whether I work out. No. Allow God to lead you. God does not operate that way. Wherein, let's see whether you should enter ministry or not, whether it will work or not. You don't do that kind of a thing. Marriage is a serious issue you don't want to play around with. What if you see whether it will work out or not, and then you impregnate the girl and the parents say you must marry? So it's not something you do really. It's not advisable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Biblically, man should have work before marriage. But sir, how can the fact that any lady who endures with you during your thick moment is made for you? This is in order not to choose the wrong woman after I made it. Starting a walk does not mean to have made anything. Hello? You started a walk, you are earning 100K. Have you made anything? You have not made anything. You see, the question this person is trying to ask is, if I must get work before marriage, how do I know if somebody is not just coming out of my money and just loves me as a person? You see, I didn't say you must get work. You must get, I didn't say you must get work before courtship. I said before marriage. Hello. Hello. For example, this is the age where you get into a relationship. I got engaged when I was 24. And my wife was 21. I got married when I was 27 and she was 24. Hello. Okay. So around this age, you allow God to lead you, get a relationship. Have you made anything? No. But eventually, before you get married, it's good to get work. So that's what we're trying to establish. Did you get that? Did I make myself clear? Okay. A guy has the character you want in a man
but you don't love him, what can you do? There's nothing you can do.
Abby, he has the character, but you don't love him. Probably God has not let him. What can you do? Just admire the character only. There's nothing to do. I pray that, oh God, where my husband is, let him have this kind of character. Since you don't love him, there's no point. Abby, you cannot marry a man because you see character and you don't love him. Every morning you wake up, you see his face, see the blood of Jesus. Because you don't like him, you don't love him. It's important you marry somebody you love. Some of us want to spiritualize it. Attraction does not matter. It matters. Let me tell somebody beside you, attraction matters. And I tell ladies that every lady is beautiful. Look for a lady beside you and say you are beautiful. You will see that they will smile. Hey, the noise is getting too much. Don't use that opportunity to toast, okay? Some brothers are very sharp. Just as we are saying in the church that you are beautiful, what I'm trying to say is that, no. Okay, now, ladies, you need to understand that you are beautiful. Some of you believe right now you are not beautiful because somebody looked at you maybe when you were younger and said you are ugly. And you've been battling with that ever since. And it's affecting you. It shows on your face that you're not happy with yourself. Now, if you don't love yourself, nobody can love you. You have to love yourself. You have to appreciate yourself. If nobody is taking you out, take yourself out. Nobody bought me anything on Valentine. Valentine yourself. Spend your money. Eat everything. Finish it. Drink. Take the drink. Blow yourself a kiss. Catch it back. You need to appreciate yourself. You are beautiful. That is the truth. Can I prove it for you, to you in the scripture that you are beautiful? If you see a scripture, will you believe me? Let me prove it to you. Number one scripture is that the Bible says, a body has he prepared us. God gave you your body. That's number one. Number two reason that you are beautiful. The Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It means you'll be wonderful to some people, you'll be fearful to others. So when somebody says you are ugly, just smile as I'm fearful to you, Shay. You are not my husband. When my husband comes, that's why you see some couples. You look at a husband, he's so handsome. You are like, what? I need to see auntie. And then you see auntie, you say, you want to ask him, Kilo Shelley, what happened? And the man says, that what? See the woman you married, see the nose. You say, what happened to the nose? It's the nose that attracted me. See, because beauty is in the beholders. That's why you see some couples, they are telling you, my wife is the most beautiful woman. And you say, Matorahimbe. But he's telling the truth. His wife is beautiful to him. Beauty is in the beholder's eye. I'm a counselor. I see a lot of people that come to me for marriage counseling. I see some combination and I'm like, kini bobo irilara girl. Or kini girl. Since inside my heart, because I'm a human being. But the way the guy, my wife is beautiful. I say, she's not beautiful in my eyes. And it's okay. Because everybody's not supposed to be beautiful. Some people will be fearful to me. But as long as she is wonderful to me, that's all. Your spouse must be wonderful to you. You will be wonderful to your husband. So, if someone says you are ugly, just smile and laugh about it. I'm fulfilling scripture, I'm fearful to you. No problem. So look at another lady beside you and say, you are really, really beautiful. It's enough. Alright, here we have, this handwriting is tiny. How many years is permissible to have courtship? It's permitted for courtship. Let me ask you, let me have your opinion. How many years? Are you not bold about your answer? How many years
Is there any standard for NCCF? How many years? None. So if somebody comes and says, I want to marry, 3 months courtship. 20 years courtship. His name is Methuselah. The longest I've seen is 11 years. 20 years. What are they doing? God help them. Now, courtship. Courtship time shouldn't be too long. It shouldn't be too long. That's why the Bible says if you are burning, go and marry. Don't burn yourself for too many years. Because when you are in courtship, you love the person. When you are with somebody you love, listen to me, you will have sexual feelings. It's normal. What becomes sin is carrying out the feelings without putting your body under. Because the Bible says put your body under. In other words, your body should not dictate to you. Your spirit should take ascendancy over your body. Take instruction from your spirit or from your body. Are you with me? So when it is 3-4 years to marriage, it's time to get into a relationship. If you are 15 years old, it's not time for courtship. If you are 23, 24, you want to marry 27, 28, that is the right time to be in a relationship. You want to marry at 30, then wait till around 25, 26, 27 before you enter a relationship. It shouldn't be too long. I've seen courtship that has short as 6 months, 1 year. Because the guy's been waiting for long, no wife. Now she is 42. The lady has been waiting for husband, no husband. Now he's 39. They saw themselves, marriage. Yes now, Abi, Kilotuku. They just went through the normal standard of the church, which is a minimum of 6 months, and then get married. So it shouldn't be too long, really. Thank you, sir, for the beautiful teaching. Thank you, too. In a relationship, must a man be more spiritual than his partner or friend? What if it happens that the woman is more spiritual, is more spiritually alert? There's no problem about that. Have you not seen ladies that are pastors and their husband are scanners or anything? The guy is unspiritual. And sometimes, what is your definition of spiritual? You don't know spirituality until you are married, my friend. Spirituality is not tongues. Oh God. Some of you think when a lady can speak in tongues, can quote scripture, she's spiritual. No! There could be a lady that does not quote scripture, she does not speak in tongues so much, she's quiet, and she's deeply spiritual. Spirituality is the ability to handle pressures when they come. Spirituality is the ability to stay with your husband in the moment of his tests and trials. Spirituality is the ability to pray for your husband when you are hot against him. When he has offended you, you go in place of prayer and pray for him. That's spirituality. He's not speaking in tongues. The Bible says something. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is after marriage. You have 4 kids. They've got to go to school. You have to prepare them. They're asking for food. Another is asking for biscuit. One is asking for milk. And you don't have house help and you don't lose it. Spirituality, that's it. So sometimes, you see, because there is no spiritometer to gauge spirituality. I wish there is something like that. Say, yeah, Sister Sube, climb. 45, over 100. I'm not led. Sister, climb. 99.9. You are my wife. It doesn't work that way. This is what you do. Listen to me. Stop looking for spiritual people. Because you don't know who is spiritual. Somebody can be spiritual today. In another 5 years, you are shocked. Most of the people that were spiritual when we were on campus, they are nowhere in ministry today. I say, I want gym, come gym. Those people that are sleeping and waking up with God. Every time they have God said, they are probably using the anointing to do law. Or counting money in the bank. So forget about somebody's spiritual. You don't know. Now what you do is be led by God. It is God that says 40 years time and who that person will be at that time. Somebody might even be so carnal now. I'm going to say that's your husband. But why? That's your wife.
Oh.
Wonderful woman.
Follow the person, because the person
in the early days of her ministry,
your desire that you had always wanted a spiritual husband
beautifully
would be fulfilled.
But now it just
it takes 5 years after marriage. So if I've married, you know,
you can
know
there's a pastor's wife, engineer's wife, just lawyer's wife, pilot's
once
wife.
You locate what God is saying,
what your purpose is,
there'll be questions in your heart.
Even if a pastor married an accountant's wife or a businessman's wife, you're in trouble. The church will become a business in your hand. She will turn it to a business. You will want to preach one day. You say, let's open our Bible to Genesis 25, Naira 35, come on. You have forgotten. He has converted you. A pilot's wife has the ability to stay at home for 3 months without seeing her husband, and there's no problem. Some women cannot handle it. My husband travel for 3 days to where? I have to be seeing him every day. So before you go and marry a man in Navy, say, because I like military wedding, will you sword to cut the cake? You don't know what awaits you. He will be gone for 6 months. You will see him on Christmas Day. Are you ready for that? So you follow God, because God knows your future. You can see beyond your nose, but God sees another 30 years time. God knows that this woman will still be with me, will still love me, will accommodate all my excesses, and will pray for me. That's the kind of person you want. Hello. So stop looking for spiritual people, because you don't know who is spiritual. Are you with me? And some of the people you think are spiritual, when they are faced with pressures, you'll be surprised. Some of the people that have never sinned, in quote, as it were, if they were faced with the kind of pressure that somebody else went through, they will crack like a piece of biscuit. There are ladies that have gone through abuse, sexual abuse, as young as they were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, 13, 15. People sleeping with them. It becomes more difficult for them when it comes to your marriage and relationship. But if they hold on and stick to it, they will have victory. Are you here with me? And you are looking at such things, she's not spiritual. She's more spiritual than you. Because you have not handled anything. You have not been abused. Nothing has happened to you. She is more spiritual than you, because upon everything she has gone through. Some of us think the only definition of a virtuous woman is a virgin. No. The word virtuous in the Hebrew means to twirl around, to twist. Eh? To twist. It's somebody that has gone through emotional upheaval and yet is still standing. It's somebody who has been messed, battered, abused on every level, and yet is still standing and saying, I stand for God. That's a virtuous woman. Okay, so you mean virgins are not virtuous? No, they are also virtuous women. But we shouldn't look at somebody by virtue of where it's coming from and summarize the person's life. Mephibosheth was the son of a king, but the Bible says he fell and broke his leg. He had not reached the age of accountability. It wasn't his fault. He was dropped. We have a lot of people that are dropped like that. It's not their fault. So we don't judge people. Thank you. Okay, please, sir. Some years back, can we just take like 2-3 questions from you? Okay. Some years back, I entered into courtship with a guy. All of a sudden, he called me and said that it cannot work out again. For few months later, he called and said, we should continue, but I'm still confused because it's in a distant place from where I am leaving. Leave him alone now. Abby? He called me and said he cannot work out again. Don't belabor yourself over somebody that's not interested in you. There's no point. You are too precious than that, and to waste your time on what's not going to work. A guy looks at you and says, no longer interested. Don't beg him. Leave him alone. He's not your husband. His name is Abednego. Let him go. Because if he doesn't go, the real person will not come. And when you get out of a relationship, don't run into another one. Give yourself minimum of 6 months. You need to clear your head. You need to be healed of the hurts and the wounds.
Otherwise, every frustration will be poured upon the next person you're in relationship with, and that one will soon break as well. Because the person will sense it and say, ah, kid mushibai. So you give yourself some time. Is it proper to get into a relationship to see it? Okay, I've answered this one. What will a lady do in a situation where she was a very close friend, from all indication, both physical and spiritual, is her husband, but the guy or the man in question has not proposed? They both are dying in silence. She is seriously waiting to hear him speak. My prayer is that you will not die eventually. I can understand this scenario. Both of them. But you know, you could be wrong. Listen to me, ladies. If a lady has not proposed, don't get engaged, though. I mean, don't think or don't give your heart out. If a guy, as men are logical beings, if he wants to marry you, he will ask you out. He will propose. If he has not proposed, ignore everything he's trying to do. If you know you are becoming emotionally connected, find a way to distance yourself so that you will not be disappointed the day he comes to say, meet my fiancé. Ladies are very emotional beings. Guys are logical. A guy is, I have not asked you out. A lady is, all his body language, all his care and attention, he will soon ask me out. Hey, let him ask you out first. Hello. Never ever conclude until he opens his mouth and gives that commitment. When you are driving a car, before you branch, what do? You trafficate. If all he's doing is trafficking, ignore it. He has not branched. He just has some brothers are dangerous. You'll be trafficking to the right. You'll branch here. Some of the brothers, double blinkers is on. You don't know where they are going. Five sisters, they send the same text. The same text. You are a blessed lady. I see the glory of God over your life. And I sense something will happen soon. Five sisters. Brothers, that is nothing more than wickedness. You are playing on our emotions. And it's not good. It's not a good reputation for a brother. Don't give yourself that kind of reputation. Be matured. There's a difference between a man and a boy. Don't be a boy. Be a man. Eh? You are supposed to take care of these sisters. Not manipulate their emotions. If you want to ask her out, ask her out. Which one is, you take her out today? What are you doing? If you have not prayed, then leave her alone. Some brothers say, I'm still praying. You are still praying. You are buying her gifts, sending her the church card, taking her to tantalize. You have finished the lady now. Because you see, the language of a lady is time and attention. Time and attention. The moment you keep spending time with her, she will think you love her. And even if she doesn't, she will unconsciously fall in love with you. Because you are spending time. That's why you see married women, some married women are rich, sleeping with their driver, and you're wondering what's their problem. It's not about any problem. It can happen to anybody. They spend more time with the driver than with the husband. The husband has gone to sit down in Japan, sending $500,000 every month, thinking that's all the woman needs. But the driver is talking with the wife every day. And before, when you talk, words are spirits. Both negative and positive words. Spirits don't die. It means words don't die. begin to tell a woman, you are such a good person. You tell her several things. She will fall in love after a while. So brothers, if you are not sure yet, maintain Pentecostal distance. Alright, for all you said, sir, it seems to me that the man has a lot to do more than the woman before marriage. Question, is waiting the only thing woman has to do? Praise the Lord. You too, you have to look for work. Oh. Don't just wait, eh? It doesn't mean you should be waiting for the husband, no. I understand what you are saying, because I focus more on the men. Because when I'm counseling people, it's usually the ladies that are the victims. Ladies are usually the victims. Think about it. When a guy and a lady in a relationship and they break up, who is hurt the most? The guy is logical. He's entered, he's gone. He's looking for another lady. When a lady gets pregnant, whose tummy is protruding? The lady or the guy? When the lady is pregnant and she's going through the trimesters, morning sickness, throwing up, inconveniences, who is going through all that? The lady or the guy? If they are unbelievers or even believers and they decide to go and abort, who is going to lie down under the surgeon's scalpel? If there's complication during the abortion, who suffers it? In the labor room, who will go through labor pain? After the baby comes, who will be breastfeeding? Who is more stupid between the two of them? Who ought to be wiser between the two of them? In a sexual situation, do you know the guy on the average, the lady is much more in control than the guy? Because the guy is ready for sex in seconds, but that's not the case with the lady. So in a sexual situation, what are you supposed to do? Eh? In a sexual situation, the guy is removing his clothes. What are you supposed to do? Eh? You are not sure. Well, the Bible says flee. What is flee? That's not the Greek meaning. The Greek meaning says to run away as in terror, as if there's Boko Haram. Hello? When the Bible says flee, don't quote scripture and say let's reason together. Somebody is removing clothes, you are speaking in tongues. Which tongues? Even the angels have left. Because their eyes must not behold evil. You are speaking in tongues. Tongue that won't work. He said, shilebo, 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 shilebo. So, in such a situation, you run. Let me take the last question and I'll drop the mic. A pastor once said that because ladies naturally know beforehand that a man is her husband, he then advises that they can behave like Ruth in Ruth chapter 3, 1 to 3. What do you say about that? Don't behave like Ruth because you are not Ruth. Hello. Please. There is a balance to everything. Because the implication of this is that you go and meet the guy. But please don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't let us twist scriptures. You know you can use scripture to achieve whatever you want. That's the thing about scripture. You can teach the scripture in error. But don't let's do that. God will help us in Jesus' name. Please, this is what I enjoy doing, teaching about relationship. If we stay here till tomorrow morning, vigil, I will teach you a relationship and I will keep on going. Okay? But if you get some of our materials, it's going to help you. If you can't get this devotional, maybe some other time when you have enough money, you can do it. But get the books, or what you can do that will, you know, just give you access to our website is if I can have your email. If I have your email addresses, I'll just add you to our database, and then you can start receiving the devotional links. Just click on the link, it will take you to the website, and you can read. If you want that, please write on a sheet of paper somewhere, or you send me an SMS. You can take my number from the president. Send me an SMS with your email address, and I will add you. God bless you.